Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
To bring us some balance, some perspective, and to talk me down from the ledge that I'm on is Umpolelo Zikalala. He's a legal analyst, a director at Zikalala Pty Limited. Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. Help me out here because I can't anymore. I can't.
Good morning to you and also to our listener. In fact, what the former president is saying is that due to the conduct of not only Advocate Billy Garner, but of the whole NPA, they don't have the prerequisite, so let's call it stature of prosecuting him. They're saying that the way in which they've handled this matter goes in contravention, which is section of 35 constitutional rights. And based on that, we shouldn't even hear the merits of this matter. We should approach a wider interpretation of the right to prosecute in this particular matter. And that would include or to ensure him that he never gets to answer as to the allegations which have been leveled against him. I don't see our courts adopting this wide interpretation for reasons that they are safety nets or safeguards that have already been built into our system, especially using the Criminal Procedure Act, in which even if the NPA would be bringing in frivolous allegations against you, you can still counter that. Even if you feel that the conduct of the prosecution was not above the approach in which or the level in which it's supposed to be in, there are instances and other avenues available to you to simply use this one, call it a technical knockout, as a way of getting out of trouble of allegations. I don't think that the courts will be amenable to that particular approach.
Is there a way to, talking about frivolous applications, in of itself, each one of these, I would imagine, is not an unreasonable objection to raise. But put it all together, and the sum of the parts makes up a terrible, terrible picture and strategy by the Jacob Zuma legal team and Jacob Zuma's defense. It's becoming silly, and it's certainly wasting the court's time. Is there any way that he can be stopped from continuing the charade?
Let's call it this. One could say he's simply exercising his rights which are available.
Of course.
If there's a particular legal avenue that is available to him, and then he would say, I want to use that first before we go into the main matter. What I would be worried about is the number of postponements in which are going to be enjoyed by the courts, because that means the longer it takes us to get to the finality of the matter. As to him exercising his rights, well, it's within his bounds to do that, and he has a choice to do that. However, one has then to look at the number of reasons that are always leveled when a person exercises his rights, and then you carefully assess, is there a reason enough to give him an ear? Is there a reason enough to roll in his favor? If the answer is no, then you say, no, I won't agree to that. Let's continue. But maybe to find, so that I can be able to provide comfort to your question, let's look at the way in which Judge Cohn has handled this matter. He is certainly one judge in the last 2 or 3 months who has made sure that we are able to move faster than you've ever moved in the last 10 years by making sure that there are charges leveled against the former president, by making sure that the Section 106 application has been heard, even forcing that even if he is not there to be present or physically present in court, which was previously argued vigorously before. He simply says, I want to get on with this match as soon as possible, providing a level of comfort to us that once the trial has started, the main trial has started, certainly there are not going to be any days which are going to be wasted. It might come to finality so sooner than we think. But that will depend on whether after the decision of the 26th of October has been given out by the court, is it accepted by other parties which are going to lose? And if they accept it, then they're going to say, let's go to the main trial. We want to deal with the first witness. Let the first witness go into the witness box.
Who at this stage is paying for Jacob Zuma's defense?
Currently, he's paying for his own defense. Let's remember that after the ruling by the Gauteng High Court and also the Supreme Court of Appeals, it was ruled that he cannot use state resources to pay for his legal defense, even though the caveat that was used earlier or allowing that particular process to go ahead was that these things happened while he was an employee of the state. Hence, the state should foot the bill. But currently, he's the one who's paying for his own bills, and he needs to come up with fees every single time they go to court of paying the senior counsels and counsels that represent him.
I mean, that would be interesting to actually find out where this money is coming from. That could be an answer in of itself. Is that a possibility?
I think maybe from a civil society type of process, maybe yes, but the courts will not be interested as to who's privately funding. I have seen previously the Jacob Zuma Foundation requesting for donation. I think it's one of the banks in which a bank account was opened and saying members of the public are free to donate in a particular account so that it's able to cover the legal fees. I think there's maybe another type of crowdfunding that has been engaged in by the foundation to try and foot the bill. Because I must mention that, judging from the number of legal practitioners that are there, I can assure you that on a daily basis, it's not anything less than 35,000 there.
I mean, that is not a small amount of money for anybody, as that starts to add up.
Definitely, because you also remember that you deal with preparations first. So your preps may take 2 or 3 days, and then it's the actual court day. So each session that sits in for 2 days or for 1 day can easily set you back about more than 100,000. Now, if you don't have strong financial backing, it means that somewhere along the way you are going to feel the pinch, and you need to start stop engaging in delaying tactics and actually dealing with the merits of the cases that have been leveled against you.
Is there any time that the attention moves from Jacob Zuma to his legal team to say, you guys have allowed your client, or you've participated in frivolous and almost obstructive behavior?
Unless he makes an allegation of saying I engaged in this particular process solely based on advice that I received from a legal practitioner, the discussions between the attorney and or the legal practitioners and their clients are privileged. And most of the time, taking from my own personal experience, you will tell your client that the levels or the chances of success are this percent. Do you want us to continue? You do find a few individuals that will say, you've told me that I have a 30% chance of winning, but I still want to continue on the basis of principle. Right. I don't mind whether it's going to waste my money and my time. I simply want to do it as a matter of principle. And then you'd find some that will simply accept your advice and say, if that's the case, let's just abandon it. And let's go in a process in which we are going to be able to benefit or win at the end of the day. But the chances of that, unless those allegations are made by him, they are very slim.